here this morning try to present a portion of the Lord's Word. I'd like to thank Andy for asking me to do this. This is my first time doing one of these. Thank you for the opportunity. Andy gave me the topic this morning of friendship, and that of the friendship of Jonathan and David. We all of us know many people in our lives, and some have been simply acquaintances. Some we call friends, and some we call close friends or best friends. The best friends that we can confide in and be there for each other in good times and bad times. Some of those best friends may be family members or not family members. A close friend or a best friend is a very special thing to have, and it's also a very special blessing. As said in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. As I said, Brother Andy gave me the topic of Jonathan and David's friendship, and that's one of the greatest examples of true friendship in the Bible. Well, I'd start off by giving kind of a background of each one. Jonathan was the son of Saul, the king of Israel. So Jonathan was heir to become king when his father passed away. If you want to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 through 16. 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 through 16. And how whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools of Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her boys, being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. And Amnon exceedingly, so that I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Samuel. Told y'all I was a little nervous. Samuel 13, verses 13 through 16. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. By now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with him, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. We see here that Jonathan was the son of Saul. He was a young man of strength and courage who looked to God for guidance. He gained much respect from the army of Israel with his bravery and strength. Look at 1 Samuel 14, verses 1 through 23. 1 Samuel 14, verses 1 through 23. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried into the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahab, the son of Ahitub, Achabob's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozeth, and the name of the other was Sineh. The forefront of one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn to thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say that thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hidden themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you the thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within as it was a half an acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host, in the field, the garrison in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was very trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah and Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. We see here that Jonathan was a very strong and courageous man, young man. He gained the respect of the army of Israel with his bravery and strength. They respected him so much that when Jonathan innocently went against the oath that Saul had made, they protected him. So there in 1 Samuel 14, verses 24 through 29. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies, so none of the people taste any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dripped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Therefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped into a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, have mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. We see that Jonathan unknowingly went against the oath his father Saul had made. And he had so much respect by the army of Israel that they covered for him. David was a son of Jesse, and he was a shepherd boy. He was also a young man of strength and courage, and we saw that when he fought the giant Goliath. Let's look at 1 Samuel 17, verses 20 through 58. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went, and Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench, and the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel, is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killed him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will forgive his daughter, and make his father's house free from Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So it shall be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why earnest thou down headed? Why camest thou down headed? And with him hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness. I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I done? What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from them toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for them. And David said to Saul, "Let no man despise fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant keep thy father's sheep." And there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And when I went out after him and smote him, he delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. And he armed with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved him." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shields went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, a ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord, Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth. All the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saved not the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hand. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut his head therewith, cut off his head there. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel of Judah arose and shouted, and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley, and to the gates of the Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath, unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it into Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thou so liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him there before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of the servant Jesse of Bethlehem." Here we see that David was a strong and courageous man too. He killed the Philistine giant Goliath. We saw, given the two backgrounds of Jonathan and David, both were very strong and courageous men, and they had strong faith in God. Strong bravery and strong courage. We see here that the David's defeat of Goliath was the start of a friendship between him and Jonathan. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 verses 1 Samuel 18 verses 1 through 6. 1 Samuel 18 verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of all Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet with King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. We see that the defeat of Goliath by David was the start of a friendship between him and Jonathan. We see that Jonathan felt a strong bond with David, that he had very much in common. They both had much strength and bravery and loyalty and faith and trust in God. But the defeat of Goliath also resulted in Saul disliking David, because David was being praised by the people of Israel to the point that Saul was out to destroy David. Continue on there in chapter 18, verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? There we see that Saul started disliking David. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 17 through 30, we see that David becomes Saul's son-in-law. Starting there at verse 17 of chapter 18. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battle. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be the son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Saul's daughter should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, Matholite, to wife. Continue on reading there. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, that they told Saul, and the king pleased him. Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, in one of the twain. Here we see that David became Saul's son-in-law, hoping it would hurt David in his life. So reason Saul gave David his daughter. So we see now that not only are David and Jonathan best friends, they are also brother-in-laws. And Saul's intention was to have David killed. Saul told the servants of Jonathan of his intention. Look at 1 Samuel 19, verses 1 through 7. Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will continue with my father, commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that I will tell thee. And David spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee were very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in times past. We see here that Jonathan found out Saul's intention to kill David. And he went to his father. Jonathan went to his father, Saul, to talk to him about it. And told him they were friends. We see there on into chapter 19 that David has realized Saul's hatred and intent to kill him as it comes back to him. David goes to Jonathan to ask him why his father wants to have him killed. Start there at verse 8 of chapter 19. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter. And they fled from him, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall, with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, and put a pillow of goat's hair for the bolster, and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said he was sick. And Saul went to the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto him, let me go, why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him that all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dealt and dwelt with Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. Here we see that David has realized Saul's intent to kill him. But we see that David and Jonathan's friendship is so strong that they make a covenant with each other that David will protect him, even if it means going against his father. Jonathan knows that what Saul is doing to David is not what God wants. Look at 1 Samuel 20, verses 1 through 7. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die, behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware, moreover, and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, this is but a step between me and death. And then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked asked Lee that he might run Bethlehem, his city, for their, it was a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he saved us, it is well. Thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. I say, we see that David and Jonathan's friendship is so close that they make a covenant with each other. And with Jonathan, later on in chapter 20, Jonathan knows that David will become the king of Israel. And Jonathan tells David that he will be with him. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 16 through 18. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, strengthened by his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul, my father, knoweth. And they too made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 2 through 6, we see that Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle. First Samuel 31, verses 2 through 6. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan. And Abinadab and Malchisha, Saul's son. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, Draw thy sword, and trust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. And then Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, we see that David becomes the king of Israel. Second Samuel 5, verses 1 through 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David and the Hebrews, and spake, saying, Behold, where are thy bone and thy flesh? Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, that was he that led us out of and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people, Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 70 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 30 and 3 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Expect thou to take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. We see here that David becomes the king of Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, we see that even after David becomes the king of Israel and Jonathan has died, their friendship still goes on strong. We see that David brings Jonathan's son into his kingdom. 2 Samuel 9, verses 6 through 8. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, and he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, Why is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? As we see, the two backgrounds of David and Jonathan and the life they live and their courageousness and bravery, they become good friends. And they were very strong in God and their faith in God. There's so much that can be learned from the friendship of David and Jonathan. They could have very easily been rivals or enemies with what they were doing back then. Both were in line to become king of Israel. But they set aside what could have been hatred and jealousy toward each other and formed a strong bond. The love and the friendship that David and Jonathan had is much like the love Christ had for us. Let's look at John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. In our lives we need to have strong Christian friends and Christian best friends to help us in our lives. To help us to become stronger in our walk with God, and to help us when we fight, when we fail, to be there for each other. And it's also a great blessing to have friends that you can look to for help and enjoy a Christian life with, and through the good times and the bad times. This brings my comments to a close this morning. I'd like to thank Andy again for asking me to do this.